Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Early Days Podcast, a show about the hustle, the excitement and doubts, the successes and failures, the ups and downs of building a business from scratch. My name is Marin Gerov, and with my co-founder Julian Samardzijev, we interview fellow entrepreneurs about their experience of starting and building businesses. We go behind the scenes and try to unearth what their early first days, weeks, months, and years were like. On today's episode, we have Konstantinos Sinodinos, the CEO and founder of Champions ID, the first ever marketplace of sports services for the contemporary athlete. We go behind the scenes to uncover how the idea came to be, what prior experiences helped Konstantinos on his journey, and where he wants to take the company in 2018. You can check out Champions ID at championsid.com. And now, without further ado, let's get into our conversation with Konstantinos Sinodinos.
So can you give us a quick introduction maybe about you and what you're currently working on now?
Yeah, sure. I wasn't always an entrepreneur, so I did my studies, the typical studies that, you know, a young kid is doing here in Greece. So I went to the university, I studied business administration, then I did my MBA, hoping that, you know, probably I will get in one big company to learn marketing and do stuff that everybody's dreaming at the beginning. So I was hired in Procter & Gamble back in 2007. I worked there for 4 or 5 years, managing, you know, really big brands and learning a lot of stuff. And then I moved to another big company, Diageo. I stayed there for another 3 or 4 years, managing the Western European business of Johnnie Walker. So I had, a quite good picture of how a career in a multinational company would look like. It had many positive stuff, many pros, many things that I enjoyed doing. But I was always, very creative, very, I was really struggling to stay in the formal, boxes that people have to respect when they're working in such big companies with not much room for flexibility and creativity and doing things on your own, etc. And, I always knew that at some point of time I will try to do something on my own. And because of my sports background, because I have been an athlete as well in my younger years. I was in the national team of karate for Greece for several years. So I've been through this process, of a kid trying to achieve something in a sport that he loves, training a lot of hours, doing some international competitions, doing some stuff, etc. But, I saw the whole thing of how a talent can really get lost through this process. And I knew many athletes that, were really talented, couldn't get to the next step or couldn't really make it to the pros and have the career that they were dreaming. Actually, the majority of athletes is facing this kind of reality. So 97-98% of people, playing sports at a young age don't make it eventually to the pros, do not make a professional career.
What are some of the main reasons for not making it into a career?
For me, actually, it was because I was in a sport that didn't have, the popularity of basketball or football and with everything that comes along with that. So, I was actually a third world champion back in 2002 in my sport, but this couldn't really give me, the resources and the money to make this a professional career. So many times we had to pay for our own trips, our equipment, stuff like that. And I knew that this was not sustainable for me. And that's why, I chose to do what I studied. And I went to the other, to the working for Procter & Gamble and the things that I said before. But, my love with sports was something that pushed me to find something and get back into this industry as well. But from another side, which was, to create something that would really help athletes somehow, to create something that would really make their life easier or to help them chase their dreams which is actually the prime aim of Champions ID, the platform we created almost 3 years ago, which is actually, we started Champions ID with a dream of making it the LinkedIn of sports in a way. So having you know every single person doing playing sports to create their own digital identity, their own digital profile where they could capture you know everything about their career, their talent, what they do on a daily basis. So a social media for the life of an athlete and a medium for people to showcase what they do and allow them to be explored, be discovered by people that are looking for athletes. And help them, you know, chase their dreams with that tool. That was the idea. That's how we launched, and how we created the first community.
Right. When you say we, how many people were in the very beginning when you started this? When the idea actually was born?
Well, I started alone for at least 1 year. So you know, I did the whole idea generation. I put it down into a business plan. I found you know a guy to create the platform. And I started promoting it by myself, you know, through social media, really organically at the beginning. And after that, you know, I recruited some people that we were working back a few years back, and I knew that, you know, they were really good at what they were doing. I tried to recruit them and have them like advisors or part-time, you know, part-time people that would help me in some way. We were seven people back in last year, I think. Now we are four, and we're trying now to get some funding in order to grow the team and do some more stuff. Because I believe that you know there are a lot of things that we can do, but you know, funding it's always an issue when you're trying to create a global platform like that.
Yeah, and when you were launching, did you launch by self-funding, bootstrapping, or were you using some investment in the company?
No, it was my own funding at the beginning. I tried also to I got some awards because we won here the two biggest entrepreneurship competitions here in Greece. So we got two important awards, monetary awards that we used for the development of the platform and to do some marketing, etc. And we got also a good publicity out of that, and. Also, we were selected by the U.S. Department of State last year to be one of the 32 companies that were selected for the Global Entrepreneurship Summit in Silicon Valley. And that's how we got also a lot of publicity in the States as well. And that's how the biggest market for us is the sports market of U.S.
Seems like a great entry. I wonder what was the time frame in terms of getting your first client on the platform from the very beginning?
We started with social media and we really did that, you know, door to door, but in the social media way. So we really created an account. I created an account in Instagram, which was all about introducing athletes and presenting them to the community. So, you know, telling about their stories, who they are, what they do, what are the aspirations, etc., which was really what the platform was all about. It was all about introducing athletes to the sports world. And that kind of, you know, marketing idea had a lot of impact in Instagram. Now we have 40,000 followers on our Instagram account. And that's how we started communicating individually with people, telling them, you know, that we have a platform, it's free for people. You can register, you can have your profile, you can upload your stuff. And we were explaining person by person what we were doing and what was the value for them. And that's how we got our initial traction.
Right. I also wanted to ask, if it's not a secret, of course, how long did it take you since launch, since day one, to actually getting the first client?
Well, we, for at least 1.5 years, or actually even more, I think 18 months, we didn't have any kind of paid function in the platform. Mm-hmm. So it was purely, you know, it was like LinkedIn at the beginning. I mean, you were creating your sports profile and you were connecting with people, you were showcasing your talent, and that was about it. You know, you didn't have to pay anything about the platform, because initially the plan was to introduce some paid profiles or some premium services through the process and after we have a significant first traction. It was last summer that we got our first clients when we introduced a new marketplace where we gathered several services that athletes had given us the feedback that they need, at the first stages of their career or even later. So we created a market that is really similar to what Fiverr is doing. So we are actually allowing to people that are really experts at what they do, categories like video development for athletes, graphics, recruiting, representation, sports marketing, promoting athletes, etc. And we ask them to create services in the platform in order to address the needs of athletes. That's how we created the marketplace of services of athlete solutions, let's say, where athletes can navigate and purchase what they need. That's how we got, the first revenues in the platform.
So is this the platform for athletes that are in their current career, so they're active athletes, or is it people that need it to the... Okay.
Yes, the target audience is people that are currently either chasing a professional career, so they want to stand out, to get introduced to a person to help them or to be found, or for people that, are currently playing professionally and they need something. They need some kind of help. They need some kind of resource, some kind of solution, whatever they need in those demanding years of their career. Because, athletes are people that are really focused for what's happening inside the court or the field. And outside of that, they have several things to do, but, they cannot really dedicate time and mental effort to get this help. That's how we gathered all those kind of solutions in one place by experts in order to facilitate them with that.
Can you give us some examples of those services, what they might be looking for?
Yeah, for example, each year an athlete needs definitely a good highlights video for himself. In order to, it's like your CV when you're looking for a job. The first thing that somebody looks in order to understand, your potential, what kind of athlete you are, it's a good highlights video. And the most updated it is, the better are your chances that you will get contacted or somebody will come and watch you playing live. So the biggest, market right now for us is the video development for athletes, creating highlights video, recruitment video, video presentation for athletes, video solutions in general, which is something that athletes really need for several reasons.
And so you mentioned it's like Fiverr. So for example, an athlete based in the US needs a video, then you guys connect it to a US based photographer.
It depends. We also have services that are really virtual, so you don't have to have any kind of physical presence in the US. So an athlete that can submit his YouTube video to us or any kind of highlights he has on his phone, and we can really create a professional video for them that is delivered in his mailbox without having any physical interaction.
Can you briefly expand on the actual journey that an athlete that just signed up on your platform would go through to actually achieve this?
Yeah, an athlete creates a profile like you do in Facebook. So you're registering, you're selecting your sport. So depending on the sport you select, you have different kind of attributes that you have to depict on the platform, different kind of skills that you have to describe. The whole format of the profile changes from sport to sport. And after that, he can either submit his request, so what exactly he's looking for in his career, but also to submit any, to apply in any kind of opportunity that is open right at this point of time in the platform. So we have several career opportunities that are being posted, like, this team is looking for this kind of athlete, or there is a sports camp and a trial for basketball athletes in Iceland or whatever. So people can submit their application there, but also they can explore the marketplace and find anything they need for either a sports nutrition program for the summer or a training program from a professional coach or marketing program that will help them, you know, establish them, themselves as a brand through social media, or you name it. You know, there are several. We have over 70, 80 different kind of services right now available in the in our marketplace.
Which representatives from which sport are most active? Which sport is most represented?
The most active one is American football in US and basketball. Those are the probably more than 50% of the platform of the 35,000-40,000 registered users that we have.
Also US basketball or European as well?
I think it's mostly people in US right now. So high school, college basketball players, and the major- and the other ones are playing in Europe and Australia as well, where we have several ones playing basketball.
Right. And do you have already some observations of trends about what is the most requested service on the platform from these athletes?
Yeah, the two services that are mostly popular right now are recruiting services for people that are playing high school sports either here in Europe or in US, are trying to find help that so that they can have, you know, a better chance to get a scholarship in a good college in US or just play college basketball or football or volleyball or whatever. And the other one is video solutions. So, you know, for example, a high school athlete really needs a recruiting video, which is something that only an expert can create, because there are several things that, you know, the college coaches are looking for, and you really have to create those through the video. You have to know specifically what to showcase from an athlete, from a 30-minute highlight video that you might have. You need to select, you know, 2 or 3 minutes with the right frames and the right graphics to showcase the talent of this athlete.
And how do you guys go about raising awareness and basically getting people on the platform, athletes?
We're trying a lot to build the community through blogging. So we have a lot of content coming out every single week, either as a blog post, as an article about, you know, things that we believe that really matter for athletes. And the other one is we're trying now to do some vlogging. So every single week we're now doing some collaborations with big platforms in the US. One of them is one with the leading sports parenting blog in the US. And we co-created a weekly video series, which is called The Parents of Champions. And through that, we have a lot of traction. We have a lot of shares in Facebook and in Instagram. And, you know, subsequently, we have a lot of people registering the platform. We don't have a lot of paid campaigns. So the majority of the traffic that we get is from the content we generate and we circulate on a weekly basis.
And are you doing profiles of athletes that are on the platform?
What do you mean if we do group profiles?
If you're doing like a blog series, let's say, where where the feature is basically the athlete or one of the athletes that are on your platforms.
Yeah.
Have you done this, telling their own stories?
You know, a big thing in social media right now is, you know, finding influencers and trying to have them, you know, promote your platform for you. But this is something that really costs, especially if you find, you know, people that are really popular in their sport or in US. So you need a lot of money for that. And if you don't do it consistently, you don't see really results. So what we figured was to find those kind of athletes, but to make them, in a way, promote our platform because, you know, they're really happy to do it without asking some money. So we do some interviews with them. We create some video compilations for them for free. And they love it, and that's how they share, you know, what we create for them, and they're actually distributing our content for us, which is actually something that really creates, you know, the virality that we need in social media.
Yeah, it's a great organic way to actually grow and spread the word around about what you do.
Exactly. If you want to grow fast, you need to make, you know, to make people evangelists of what you do. You need to make them love what you do.
Exactly. And how are you achieving that? Through which are the main platforms that you're using right now to spread the word and create those ambassadors?
Instagram is the majority. I mean, you know, Instagram is our most active community. Facebook is the second one. And because we are realistic, we are not really doing, you know, a lot of things in Twitter. Of course, it has, you know, a lot of meaning for us because Twitter is a big sports community as well. But, you know, we're choosing our battles. And right now, what we know very well to handle with is Instagram and Facebook. And we're also trying to utilize, you know, YouTube by creating really nice videos for athletes. And we're trying to push them through several mediums and in our social media accounts.
How do you, the Instagram content, is there any strategy or like a schedule that you do, or is it more on the go?
Yeah, we are actually, you know, we're splitting, let's say, our schedule within the week goes like that. We start with, you know, some motivational content at the beginning of the week. We're definitely sharing some content like, you know, remarkable stuff, remarkable highlights, things that athletes, either from people that we have in the platform or other people that we have, you know, that in social media, if they did something that really, you know, deserves some special mention, etc. So we're trying also to put in the equation, you know, stuff, content that comes from our users, from our followers. And then we are also having, you know, the weekly series that I told you, the Parents of Champions. We have some interviews. We have some tips, you know, sharing some training tips, mental training tips. Recruiting tips, you know, anything that comes within our within the categories that we play and the services we have. And we have a very small amount of posts and content that we share every single week that has to do, you know, purely with the services that we provide. Or get this service, or, you know, read this content, or buy a graphic package or whatever.
And how many do you have enough? Try to post, or is it fixed? Or
we're looking for at least two posts every single day. Ideally, I would want to have at least four or five posts happening in the same day, because when I'm doing that, I see a lot of traction, and the follower base is growing, and the engagement rate is coming up, etc. But, you know, realistically, I cannot handle at this point of time so much content coming out of our hands, and that's why I'm looking for at least for sure two posts every single day in Instagram and Facebook. That's what we're doing right now.
And are you utilizing Instagram stories as well in some sort?
Yes, we're we have this kind of great thing that Instagram stories are offering, which is actually the link that we can create. You know, you can, if you post an Instagram story on your profile, on your personal profile, you cannot put a link on it. But if you have a business account which is big, like ours, you are allowed by Instagram to have a link. So this is, we use a lot of Instagram stories in order to promote our services or the content that we generate, and take people directly to the link we want to land them. So that's how we utilize Instagram stories currently.
And have you seen any difference in terms of the performance of Instagram stories versus feed posts? Because I think from just looking at my own personal consumption, from my personal profile at least, and the people around, I think more and more people have started to get warmer to the stories format and are hardly scrolling the feed. Especially if you're following a lot of people, there's a huge chain of stories. So I wonder if you have any observations on that for your account.
Yeah, that's right. It's like you said. I mean, even Instagram has placed a lot of attention and a lot of focus in driving Instagram stories. I know for sure that, for example, in the first month of its introduction, it had like 150 or 200 million adopters at the first month of its introduction, which is amazing. So I know for sure that, you know, many people are looking at the stories first thing. Is at the very top of your profile when you open the application. And you get also stories now into the Explore feed. So you can really find also stories of people that you're not following, which is a great thing. And especially if you use the location function and the hashtags, you can really be, you can really start appearing in places where you really want to be as a business. And I really see, you know, people coming from the stories or clicking to the link that we have on the stories, etc. But you have really to be consistent with that. I mean, you know, if you, you're just doing one story every single week or two every single week, you don't really see results. You have to do at least four or five different stories every single week consistently to start seeing, you know, this this kind of impact coming in your results. As with everything, I mean, you know, consistency is the number one factor in everything.
Absolutely. You have to go into the habit of creating content always and put it live out there. I also want to touch one more thing about Instagram, that's hashtags. Do you have any strategy in terms of how you use hashtags in your posts on Instagram or stories?
Not really. You know, we have, as a sports platform, we are addressing athletes. So obviously athletes, athlete, basketball player, student athlete, you know, all that stuff that falls within our territory are hashtags that we use all the time in our posts. We're not going after, you know, 30 different hashtags that many people do, because I don't believe that it really has a lot of impact. And we're also using those hashtags in order to navigate through the Explore page and find also people that, you know, could potentially be interested about what we do. So we spend a lot of time every single week interacting with the community, which is also another big part of having an Instagram account, really making it significant, growing, etc. And also growing your engagement rate, which is a huge thing in Instagram that not many people understand. Everybody sees the followers, but the most important thing is, you know, the engagement rate that you get of those followers. So we spend a lot of time interacting with them, you know, commenting on their photos, liking photos that fall within the hashtags that we play as well, asking them if they need anything or if we can really add value to what they do or if we can really facilitate something that they do. We share some content individually with people that, you know, we have talked before. We really try to make this more like a community rather than, you know, a faceless account that just grows without, you know, caring about who is following.
Is that something you keep in mind when, for example, writing the copy of the post? Is there like a question at the end? How do you engage the community from your side?
Well, you know, the best way to engage your community is individually. That's what I believe. That's what I see working more than anything else. And that's how I started everything. I mean, that's how I gathered the first 10,000 users in the platform. I did it myself, going door to door and having, you know, those athletes spread the message. So I really believe, yeah, that, you know, posts that are really asking a question, or they're asking them to caption, you know, something, or to share their experience or whatever. Yeah, those are great ideas to engage your audience and have a lot of comments, etc. But I believe that the most engaging way for any kind of platform, for a brand, okay, not for something that it's, you know, it's purely a community that, you know, doesn't ask anything from people that follow, because at the end of the day, we're a brand, we're a company, and we want to make money of what we do and for the effort that we're doing. The only thing that I believe that, you know, is the most impactful is really caring about who is following you. Sending a message to some people, asking about, you know, what was their experience in the platform, if they need anything, what kind of feedback they can offer us, what would they would like to see in the future, you know, stuff like that. Simple stuff. Even, I don't know if you know the article about, you know, the 1,000 true fans. It's an amazing article of Tim Ferriss, I think. Tim Ferriss.
But Tim Ferriss is popularizing it a lot. Yes.
Exactly. Which, you know, it's all about this kind of idea. You know, having a small amount at the beginning of people that really love what they do, they're really fanatics of what you do, either than, you know, trying to, I don't know, to bring thousands or tens of thousands or millions of people that, you know, don't really understand what they're doing or why they're following you. And that's how we are, that's the approach we have at this point of time. If we have, you know, limitless resources and too many people working for us or a lot of money to invest, it would be a different approach. But for now, we're trying to do that, you know, as closer as we can.
Yeah, makes sense a lot. And so what are the plans for 2018 Champions ID?
You mean what is the target?
Yeah, like plans, any projects in the works, any new features coming up, partnerships?
Yeah, right now, you know, we started, as I told you, we really wanted to create a digital identity for every single athlete on the planet. That was the initial idea. And, you know, through those years that I am working a lot of time in this segment, and I see, you know, the needs of athletes, etc., I understood that, you know, what really would make sense for us is to be as holistic as possible. So, you know, the thing that we want to do is to create a platform that covers all the needs athletes have from the very beginning of the career till the very end, and creating consistently things that can really help them to achieve their dreams. That's you know, the vision that I have for the platform. That's where we want to go. And based on that, we are really, you know, cutting off stuff or canceling things we did at the beginning, or optimizing stuff, or thinking about new ideas that can really fall into this kind of plan of ours to really gather everything that athlete needs in one place. So
your team, is it located in Athens with you, or are you distributed around the world?
No, currently everybody's in Athlete in Athens. We have one special advisor who is in US. He's in New York, but the all the other people are here in Athens as well.
Okay,
nice. So just to wrap up, any places that you would urge people to check out your company and handle social media?
You know, I think that, you know, really many people that are not athletes are following Champions ID, because many of the pieces of content we generate are really about, you know, motivation, chasing your dreams, never quitting, being consistent. So it might be something that, you know, it's really mostly about athletes, but we have a lot of people loving and reading and sharing the content that we generate, because I believe that, you know, being a champion in sports is really similar to being a champion in entrepreneurship or in life or in family or whatever you choose. So the traits of people that are really, really succeeding in sports or in any other field of life are really similar. So they have, you know, the same passion about something, the same consistency and effort, and they do something they love day in and day out. And, you know, that's why I believe that, you know, we have a lot of things to share also with people that are not athletes right now. And I love, you know, giving this kind of feeling to people to be more optimistic, to believe more in themselves, and to chase their dreams no matter what.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the show. If you enjoyed it and found it valuable, we would appreciate your support by liking, rating, subscribing to the Early Days podcast. It helps us a lot in spreading the message to a wider audience. Until next time, bye-bye.